They get ready for the Las Vegas Bowl Saturday afternoon as they'll take on Arizona State out of the Pac-12. Paul Leffler joining us here on the program. What's happening, Paul? How are you doing?
Hey, doing great. Looking forward to getting to Vegas tomorrow and seeing this game Saturday. You know, it's a fun way to kick off bowl season with having a conference championship team that has a chance to set a record, a school record with 12 wins against a really talented Pac-12 power. So it's something that the Fresno State fan base, the Red Wave, as we call them, is pretty fired up about.
You know, the job Jeff Tedford has done in a relatively short amount of time, I don't think can be overstated. You know, from where this program was a few years ago under the last few years of Tim DeRuiter to where they are now with Jeff Tedford, how impressive has this turnaround been?
You know, it's really been incredible. I think it's far exceeded anyone's realistic expectations, and expectations were high. You know, Jeff Tedford played at Fresno State, was a very popular, record-breaking quarterback, had been here as an assistant coach under both Jim Sweeney and Pat Hill, and of course had great success at Cal, got up to number two in the country with the Golden Bears. So people knew that he was a high-quality coach. But to inherit a one-win team and over the course of these last 2 years go 21-6 with a chance at win number 22, I don't think anyone would have been looked at seriously if they claimed that was about to happen.
You know, getting the win in the Mountain West Championship game at Boise State, what, four times in the calendar year that Fresno State had played Boise State and three of them on the blue turf, finally going their way. That was a fun one, I'm sure, to call in overtime in the snow. That was a heck of a football game. What in particular led the Bulldogs to that tough victory at Boise?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it came down to willpower, and that sounds like a cliche, but if you look at it statistically, they didn't win the battle of yardage. They were 10 minutes shy in time of possession. They lost the turnover battle. They weren't better on third down. All those things that coaches will tell you, you have to do these things to win. They didn't win any of those games within the game, but situationally, when there was a play to decide it, they stepped up and got it done. They blocked an extra point to force overtime. In an overtime, they hold Boise State to a field goal, and then when they've got third and goal from the one-yard line, they go to a play out of that formation that Boise State hadn't seen before, and the speed option got it done. And, you know, it was a long-running situation in Fresno that the Bulldogs can't win on the blue, that Boise State stole their mojo in 2001 when Fresno State was unbeaten at number eight in the country and going to be the BCS buster. And, you know, the Broncos pilfered that destiny and ran with it. And Fresno State had never really been able to fire back with just as painful a loss inflicted on the opposition. And this was the time. It's the one that the fan base had been waiting for. The players were well aware of that. And you could just tell there was a confidence about them the night before. I was at their team chapel and heard their chaplain, a former Bulldog who was a great player named Lauren Bell, give them this speech, and he boiled it all down to faith and their desire. You know, if they really believe they can do this, they can. And I think that's what you saw on the field. They just, it was that cliche of refuse to lose, but they really lived it. There was no way they were going to let that opportunity get away from them.
Yeah, I know the school's made a commitment to Jeff Tedford in terms of compensation. What about his, you know, you mentioned, you know, him coming back to Fresno State. Do you get a feeling like this is a job that is potentially his final spot as a head coach, or does he think he has one more run at maybe a higher level, in your opinion?
Well, you know, he's on record saying that this would be his last stop and that he wants to be here. Certainly, you know, his wife Donna and his sons, who are grown now, one of them works in the program, one of them works around the city. They're both here. He's making great money. When you look at his performance bonuses, which are among the best in the country, he's up over $3 million for the second year in a row. And in Fresno, that goes a long way. That's a big deal. So he's doing well financially. Could he trade it for $5 million or $6 million somewhere else in a Power 5 conference? Sure, he could. But at what cost? What does he give up to take that trade-off? And what else does he want to accomplish there that he can't do here? And he has a tie to this program. You know, he was here when the stadium was brand new. Now he's here when it's almost 40 years old. He has a chance to take this program to another level. I mean, just in this game Saturday, to win a 12th game, something this school has never done before. and that dream, when they were a few hours away, had UCF lost, of getting to a New Year's Six Bowl, to getting one of those big paydays, and again, achieving something that this program hasn't before. So I think that opportunity to do something special here, where he played, where he cares about, right now, weighs heavily enough that I don't see him paying much attention to those other situations.
Paul Leffler joining us here in the Sports Zone, voice of Fresno State football, as the Bulldogs get ready to take on Arizona State Saturday in the Las Vegas Bowl. Paul, about this matchup, it's, you know, middle-tier Pac-12 opponent, but it's one of those Power 5 teams. What does the matchup look like between the Bulldogs and Arizona State on Saturday?
Well, I think it's a serious matchup because I think both coaches take it seriously. And we saw with Jeff Tedford last year, his first chance to coach Fresno State in a bowl game. They took on a Houston team that was very talented, you know, had the defensive player of the year in college football and Ed Oliver and a, you know, very talented offense. And, you know, he approached it as a business situation, not as a reward or a cherry on top, but we're going there to win. And he did. He had a back and forth ball game with Houston and came out on top. And Herm Edwards, you know, his first year at Arizona State, this is his first chance to show the Sun Devil fan base, hey, this is who we are as a program. We're going to have winning seasons. We're going to win bowl games. So I think both coaches are really locked in. You expect their teams to be. What I don't know is how the absence of N'Keal Harry is going to affect Arizona State. I mean, if you've seen the Sun Devils at all this year, you know, he's their big play guy. He's a huge physical, muscular receiver with speed, 6'4", 225. You normally don't see a guy that size return punts, but he does, and I've seen him go goal line to goal line on those. So a real weapon that's out of the lineup for Arizona State. Maybe that makes them more one-dimensional with Eno Benjamin, the best running back in the Pac-12. We'll see. But I think Fresno State's defense has been up to just about every challenge this year, and you certainly hope that that Bulldog D is up to this challenge, too.
Is it? Did the Arizona State guy, did he declare for the NFL draft into sitting out the bowl game, or is he injured?
No, that's your first premise there. Okay. Correct. He's a junior who's leaving early. He's signed with an agent, and he said, nope, sorry, I'm done. Good luck, guys. I'll be rooting for you, but he won't be playing. And the rest of their receivers statistically don't come close to him. They have some other guys with size, some other guys with speed, but he was their go-to guy in third down situations and clutch situations, and they won't have him.
What do you make of those decisions? I mean, I understand it, but there's still a part of me that believes that, you know, you've got that one last game with your teammates, and I know the risk of injury is there, but where do you stand on that front, on skipping bowl games, you know, to not risk injury?
Well, I think I've got a pretty good parallel there for you. I'm with my fellow west side of the San Joaquin Valley product, Josh Allen. He's from Fireball. I'm from Las Banas, about 30 miles away. And I thought what Josh did last year for Wyoming was exactly what every team player should do. I mean, you play this game because you have trust in your teammates, because you have belief in your coaches. And, you know, if you're going to make decisions out of fear, you're not going to go very far in this game. And what Josh said last year was, hey, I'm a part of this team. And I know I could sit this game out. I'm going to make millions either way. But I have an opportunity to represent this school one more time, to play for my teammates one more time, and I'm not going to miss that opportunity. And I have so much respect for that. I mean, we're not in their shoes. When a young man has a chance at a life-changing payday and he doesn't want to jeopardize it, I understand that philosophy. I just don't like to live my life out of fear. And when you see those decisions, I think it does have a ripple effect. So I hope that this is a trend that ends soon in college football. Whatever that's going to take, I'm not sure. Maybe it's expanding the playoff. Maybe it's what schools are talking more and more about of compensation for players. But it's sure unfortunate for the rest of those teammates and for the fan base that doesn't get to see that young man one more time and maybe doesn't get to see a victory because he's missing in action.
Paul, one more before we let you go. Fresno State basketball. How are the Bulldogs looking on the hardwood right now?
Well, I got to tell you, I'll be doing a show with Coach Hudson here in a couple hours. I have been so impressed by what he and his staff have done. I mean, the previous coach, Rodney Terry, won a lot of games here and really got things rolling. But he left and took Fresno State's, you know, best NBA prospect with him. So the cupboard wasn't empty, but it certainly wasn't completely stocked. And what Justin Hudson and his staff have done is they found a way to put the players they do have in situations, in matchups, where they can be successful. They really accentuated their strengths and minimized their potential weaknesses. Now, they suffered a big blow this last week when Deshaun Taylor, their first-team all-conference guard, who I'm sure Cowboy fans remember, he had some phenomenal games up there in Laramie. He had a fluke fall in practice and dislocated his elbow. So he's out for at least a month, and you wonder, boy, that's probably the one guy they can least afford to lose. The very next night, they show up against Long Beach State, and they blew the 49ers' doors off by 21, and they didn't seem like they missed him at all. So we'll see moving forward. They're 7-2. Their two losses were on the road at TCU, a ranked team, and Fresno State actually led at halftime. And the other one was at the buzzer to Miami, who's been in the last three NCAA tournaments. So far, so good, and I couldn't be more impressed.
Awesome stuff, Paul. We certainly appreciate the time. Enjoy Las Vegas, and looking forward to the game on Saturday. Thanks for giving us a few minutes.
Yeah, and I look forward to seeing, speaking of Westside guys here in the Valley, what Sean Chambers can do for the Cowboys if he gets more opportunities. Wish him a speedy recovery, and he's just a tremendous young man. So whatever he does in a Wyoming uniform, I think Cowboy Nation will be very thankful and excited about it.
Awesome stuff. Thanks, Paul.
You bet.
All right, bye-bye.
There you go. Paul Leffler joining us.